Hello and welcome back to Mining Stock Daily with me, Paul Harris. We are at the 2023 Vancouver Resource Investment Conference. We're talking about gold, gold development in Canada, and I have great pleasure to be joined by Justin Reid, President and CEO of Troilus Gold. Good morning, Justin.
Good morning, Paul. How are you?
I am very well, thank you. It's been a while since we've spoken, so I'd really like to get a really good update about the project. To start off, Justin, let's look back at 2022. What were some of the key achievements, the key milestones achieved last year?
Sure. 2022 was a remarkable year for Troilus, actually, not only in the accomplishments, but setting the stage for the future. We drilled about 110,000, almost 120,000 meters at Troilus, a lot of infill and expansion. And out of that drilling came, towards the end of the year actually, two very significant discoveries around the main deposits. A hanging wall zone to 87 we call X22 that stretches about 2.5-3 kilometers into the connector. And Troilus typically has been a circa 1 gram ore body. A lot of what we've been drilling is more of the same, and you know, we're getting a lot bigger, there's no doubt. However, X22 in the connector, this hanging wall zone that was never exploited, never even sampled by the previous operator InMet during operation, we intersected some significant mineralization that looked very, very different. And, you know, kind of culminating in, headline numbers of 50 meters of almost 5 grams. And this is from surface. And this is along within areas that are cleared. The earthworks are done. We're on top of these ore bodies. And now we've stretched it out through drilling to almost 5.5 kilometers from the tip of X22 all the way through the connector. So we've identified a very large zone that has the opportunity to run significantly higher grade that could have a material impact early on in the mine life. And it's shallow. So we've turned our attention there. We stopped the work on the pre-feasibility, knowing that essentially it was incorrect and that these two new zones, which are being drilled very aggressively right now, will have a very big impact early on in the mine life.
Okay, obviously that's a landmark, a catalytic discovery. So with the drilling there, what's the plan? How quickly do you think you can drill that up and get that into a resource and in a position to be able to resume the work on the PFS?
Yeah, so we are drilling it right now to measured and indicated spacing. We have it very well delineated with geophysics. We have it essentially goalpost with drilling, and now we're infilling it. And it's going to pinch and swell, but the great, you know, we also at the connector zone, we had 135 meters of 1.75, so significantly higher grade than the past. That will be ready for the feasibility, which will be out in the second half.
Feasibility.
So we're going straight to feasibility.
This second half of this year.
Second half of this year. We have a resource coming out in a couple weeks. Our last resource was 8.1 million ounces equivalent. That was September of 2020 on 89,000 meters of drilling. The new resource will come out shortly, as I said, and that's going to be based on 300,000 meters of drilling.
That's a lot of drilling.
It's a lot of drilling. Then this will be an additional probably 25 to 40,000 meters on these new zones. And so our new resource will not include this high grade. You're going to see more of the same, a lot more of the same, but you're not going to see the impact of these higher grades right away. That will come out at the feasibility.
Okay, so you said you paused your feasibility, sorry, your pre-feasibility study to drill out this new area, and you're going to go straight to feasibility study. Is that a complete reset in the thinking about how the vision for taking the project forward into development?
No, not at all. In fact, it doesn't slow us down on our timeline at all. We have already filed our project description with the provincial and the federal government. Consultations have already occurred. EIA guidelines have already been returned, and that work is underway. We rightfully permitted in our project description everything from our southwest to the north end of the J zone. So, we're permitting 8.5 square kilometers. The scale of the deposit at 35,000 tons a day isn't going to change. What this grade does for us, or these zones do for us, is maybe allows us to scale it a little more as we ramp up, or ramp up a little slower, defer a little capital, start at 20,000 tons a day, go to 35, it all depends. So permitting's still on scale. It's not a complete reset. In fact, I'm gonna say 95% of our engineering that was almost completed remains intact and is just getting upgraded to feasibility standards. So it was an easy pivot for us because it didn't really impact our timeline and our deliverables. Also in 2022, we completed all the metallurgical work. Of course, the mine operated for 14 years, but we took 10,000 kilos of bulk samples from all the zones. We didn't do bench scale work. We ran full pilot plants in Pennsylvania. And on the gold, copper, and silver, depending on the different zones, recoveries are all incredibly robust, kind of over 92 to 95%, so very happy with the quality of work. All of our geotech work, our metallurgical work, and our tailings work was all done already at feasibility level. So.
Okay, I'd like to let's talk a little bit about the sort of markets. You know, the company's share price has been creeping up nicely this year. Obviously, there's a much more positive outlook for gold stocks and gold development stocks. What's the messaging? What kind of messaging are you getting from the market, from investors, as we start 2023? And how has that changed from what you were hearing last year?
Yeah, we're only in January, or almost at the end of January, but it certainly feels, and we were talking about it last night, it feels like the floor under us is a lot more stable. Where in the previous few years, we drilled 300,000 meters. We were, and are, very large consumers of capital. And so we were always essentially coming to the market, right? And we've been very lucky that we've been financed all the way through. We did a deal on non-core assets that we sold to Sayona Mining out of Australia for $40 million in stock and a $10 million private placement at almost a 40% premium to us. So our balance sheet right now has over $60 million in, I'm going to call it in liquid working capital.
That's Canadian, yeah?
That's Canadian.
And that deal closed in November, very recently.
It closed in November. Our average price on the Sayona stock, we have 181 million shares, was at 21 cents. Stock's at 30 now, haven't sold any. It trades $95 million a day. We have no restrictions on the sale, so it's as good as cash for us if we need it. Plus, we have a balance sheet of about $10 million in cash. So we're in really, really good shape. I think previously, Troilus was always, you could wait to buy Troilus because we're always going to come to the market on an institutional deal. Right now, with the balance sheet we have all the money we need now to run right to project construction. And we haven't had that before. And so I think, and you're beginning to see it now, as the gold price looks very, very strong. It looks like it's going to get better. 15% of our revenue is copper. Copper looks incredibly strong with the reopening of China. We are certainly seeing the early signs of the breaking of the U.S. dollar. So I think we're going to have a really great run on gold. We're a levered play. All the juniors are going to be coming through the financing window. We will not have to.
Well, that's obviously a huge advantage as this market's set up. And I don't want to get it into, you know, forward-looking statements and things you can't talk about, but I'm going to ask you anyway. You've got a big and growing resource.
Yeah.
You've got a district.
Yeah.
You've got the scale that bigger companies are after. Plus, you've got that, as you said just now, 15% of the revenue is in copper. The big gold producers want copper because it gives them diversification. It gives them extended life. You know, Barrick, Newmont, they're all looking for copper, gold, copper. How is Troilus preferring in the beauty pageant for the bigger companies? Imagine you're getting a lot of inbound calls, maybe visits, maybe NDAs, that kind of thing.
I guess maybe the best way to say it is you can't have 10 million ounces and growing in Quebec without everybody at least having an opinion. Every corp dev team in the world would be fired if they didn't have an opinion on that type of asset. Yeah, lots of action, a lot of interest. Certainly over the last few months with these significantly higher grades coming in, you know, a lot of phone calls are coming in. At the end of the day, this is going to be a big CapEx project. We've never hit it. Our PA, which was in 2020, was kind of $400 million of CapEx. Well, you can double that. And that's included. And it shows you the value of the $350 to $500 million US in infrastructure we have. If we didn't have it, this would be Greenstone, right? Eric Lamontagne, who's building Greenstone, sits on my board. We have real-time numbers. Huge value to that infrastructure as well. So yeah, well, we're not seeing the majors explore. Our team, we've built this team and capitalized this team to build mines. Our board is set up to build mines, our shareholder base is. But ultimately, we care about value per share. And in huge capital items like this, partnership is never a bad idea. So yeah, lots of people are always interested, but I think this year is going to be really interesting on the M&A front. Quebec especially, we see and feel immense consolidation coming.
Now, you may have the capacity and the team to build a mine, but as the CEO, do you really want to do that? And I want to put that in the context. We've had massive cost overruns at IAMGOLD's Côté, Argonaut Mines, Magino, Pure Gold Mine, and these things have cost CEOs their job. So, you know, there's a self-preservation aspect. Do you really want to build a mine and potentially that's the end of your career if it doesn't go to plan?
Well, I mean, I've never had that question before. Yeah, I think that it's a challenge, right? And are we up for the challenge? I'm great at building assets and building teams and making sure they're capitalized. Am I an operator? No, I'm a geologist with a few degrees in that. And then I was an analyst and a broker for a bunch of years. I've worked at operations, but I haven't built mines before. So if we transition to building the mine, I would transition myself, my role into an operator's role, for sure. I know what I'm good at. I would go to the board. That's why I built this company from scratch. And I don't want to operate a mine. That's not my job. I want to get us there. I want to have that success. But ultimately, at the end of the day, when you have, you know, I'm 70% institutionally held with the biggest funds in the world. I'm the largest shareholder. They're marking to market every year. If a reasonable bid comes in, I have to take to my shareholders. And institutionally, you know, they know how hard this business is. They're going to take it because they don't necessarily want to take that risk with us either. So.
Okay, well, we've touched on this a little bit through the conversation. Let's turn our attention to 2023.
Yeah.
You mentioned your resource update coming out in a number of weeks. Later on this year, a feasibility study. The feasibility study is presumably the big one, the big goal, the big thing you want to get right. What other things are you sort of working on that you'd like to achieve this year?
Well, we accomplished the balance sheet a little earlier than we thought. So we're in great shape there. The resource is going to be shortly. This X22 and connector zone, significantly higher grades, could really change the face of what this deposit looks like early on. So for us, it's a real focus on technically delivering this zone. And then along the sides, all of the things that aren't sexy that we don't talk about, geotech, tailings work, just immense consultations, those are all underway and take hundreds of people to do it. So from our standpoint, all working towards feasibility in the second half of the year and getting out ahead of it, getting out into a market that's buoyant and maybe spending more dollars marketing than we have before, because at the end of the day, I think Troilus is very well known in Quebec. It's very well known to Canadian institutions and some U.S. institutions. but I just got back from 2 weeks of marketing in Australia, and really they hadn't heard of our name at all, and we had some nice buying on that. So just getting the word out there that there is an asset out there in a great tier one jurisdiction that has the potential of producing between 250 and 300,000 ounces a year open pit for 25 years. Oh, and by the way, we'll throw 30 million pounds of copper with that too. So yeah, a lot of the meetings I had in Australia over the last couple of weeks has kind of been, really? But, you know, there's a big division in valuation between Australian gold companies and North American now. And North American gold listed companies are trading probably 30 to 40% lower on a per ounce basis. So there's great opportunities for new shareholders, I think.
I mean, that's an incredible arbitrage, if you like.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, I know of one hedge fund right now that's arbing us based against our 181 million shares of Sayona that we own. It trades $95 million a day, and they're playing that game. So, yeah, huge arb right now. It's the same arb we saw in the early 2000s when all the Australian companies came to the TSX, when you had Mirabella Nickel and Equinox and Paladin and everybody list. It's almost the opposite now. I'm not going to say we're going to list in Australia, but there's a huge valuation arb, and it's because there is not a lot, or the majority of investing in Australia is active. You know, you still have stock pickers. You don't have a lot of ETF or index buying. And so name-specific investing matters in Australia, and it's becoming less and less in Canada. So it's a good opportunity, I think.
Okay, so feasibility this year. Are you starting to sort of work on a potential sort of financing package as well?
Yeah, and you know we're lucky in Quebec because if you look at my five largest shareholders, one Sayona Mining now out of Australia, they're building the Moblan deposit 20 kilometers from us. Lots of synergies there, infrastructure costs, and then it's Franklin, Steve Land of Franklin's second. But third, fourth, and fifth largest shareholders, I'm in there, but it's Investissement Québec, The Caisse, and FTQ, Fonds Solidaire de Québec. And these three Quebec-based pension plans are very active providing debt terms and debt financing packages for their investments. In fact, that's why they invest early in equities, is to kind of solidify that. So we're at the early stages there, putting a debt package together. We'll obviously have to bring in a syndicate around that, but you're going to get a great cost of capital. And then in November of 2020, we bought back the 2.5% royalty from First Quantum for $20 million. Back at that time, the market wasn't overly impressed that I did it, but right now is the single best move we may have ever made in our company, because once your debt package is in place, you're going to see what your equity and or other piece is. We'll have vendor financing and other things in there as well. We're talking to Komatsu and CAT. But this thing's unlevered. The copper's unlevered. The silver's unlevered. And we have the opportunity to sell a royalty as your last piece, which ideally would limit your dilution.
And also makes you more attractive to another company to
for sure
take out Snorri. Okay, it sounds like there's a lot of exciting things to come. We're certainly going to be talking more this year, Justin. Troilus Gold trades on the TSX under TLG and on the OTCQX under CHXMF. Justin Reid, President and CEO, thank you very much for joining us today.
Thanks, Paul.
And that's all from me, Paul Harris. Stay tuned for more from Mining Stock Daily.
The information presented should not be considered investment advice. Mining Stock Daily and its affiliates are not responsible for any loss arising from any investment decision in connection with the material presented herein. Please do your own research or speak with a licensed financial representative before making any investment decisions.